From ACB Radio Mainstream, welcome to Tuesday Topics. For the next hour, we will be discussing a topic of interest to blind and visually impaired people. And now, from Miami, Florida, the host of Tuesday Topics, Paul Edwards.
From a somewhat cloudy and cool and blustery Miami, Florida, this is Paul Edwards, and welcome. Tuesday Topics is once more on the air. I'd like to thank Steve Bauer, who is doing our recording and who will edit what we do this evening and turn it from what it is into a listenable program. And I'd like to thank those in advance who will participate in our program. We have some new people with us this evening who I'm sure you'll get an opportunity to hear. Our topic tonight is not known. We will see where conversation leads us. We were given one thought based on some conversation that we had just prior to the beginning of the program. But perhaps to explain a little bit more, I did have a guest lined up who was going to talk about orienteering, which I would eventually like to be able to do. I think it's kind of a fun sport that I would like people to learn a little bit more about. But she ended up canceling because she got ill with the flu that's going around that I had last week. And as a result, about 4:30 this afternoon, I found myself guestless and put out a message that essentially indicated that people could choose whatever it was they wanted to talk about by simply being here a little before 9. And I had these visions of folks sneaking up and coming up with all sorts of arcane subjects that the host was allegedly supposed to know nothing about. But actually, I have friends, and they turned up, and we ended up talking about, or starting to talk about, loss of computer data. And one of the things that came up was whether agencies that were buying computers for people who are blind ought, in fact, to include in what they buy provisions for backing up that data. So it's an interesting question, and let me throw it out to whoever in the group wants to answer it. Two reminders to folks who are part of the recording. Remember to tell us who you are and where you're from when you respond. And second, after you've had a chance to speak, remember to let other people jump in if they want to as the evening wears on. So, does anyone have any thoughts about whether a rehab agency that's buying a person a computer ought to be as well providing that person with, say, an external hard drive to back up his or her data?
This is Brian Collins from Long Beach, California, and I did some homework, a little research, and it's not detailed, but it's kind of just a little survey that I did, and I asked a few counselors that I know, and I discovered that the here in California, the Department of Rehab is supplying a lot of their clients with services to recover data on damaged or lost hard drives. And so my thinking was that since that is usually an expensive process, wouldn't it be less expensive for them to supply a backup software or hardware or both in order to save that time and resource for the state in the end, because it's usually cheaper to do that than it is to do the recovery. My thinking is that that would be a definite money saver for both the individuals as well as the departments, and that's just my thought.
Good evening. I'm Monica. I'm from Atlanta, Georgia, and I kind of have the opposite view, but I have a reason for saying that. A decent backup drive can be purchased for less than $100. In many cases, you can get a nice backup hard drive for $50 or $60. What I would really like to see is for agencies to focus on providing the things for us that we cannot provide for ourselves. Granted, a college student may not have the ability to get a hard drive, but someone who is going into a working situation, I would think definitely could provide that. What I would like agencies to focus more of their attention on is hands-on showing people how to use the computer that they get, you know, actually using that specific computer, not, you know, sending them to an institute where they use computers that are set up differently. I'd really like to see them take that money and spend it on a couple of hours of hands-on training so that when the person comes online, they actually know what they're doing with what they've got.
I actually have to agree with that statement, and I know when I first really got into computing, you know, I basically live in an area of California that is not well populated by training people, and I was basically self-taught. I did some part of some at the local junior college, and then when I went into Windows, I got a crash course by the guy that from whom my workplace bought the computer. Happened to be Ron Sweetman and Sweetman Systems. He and Sue, they came up and basically gave me a crash course, and that was it, you know. And I went on my own, and I guess I'm okay. I'm certainly not as adept at my computer use as many on this list or on these out there, but I get the job done. But I think she's right. I think a more of an emphasis on training. The thing about backup is that backup is now readily available. You know, you can go down to Office Depot or whatever and get a hard drive. But you need to be told, you know, a hard drive, an external hard drive. But you need to be told that you need one, and that's where training comes in, because the counselor isn't going to necessarily know what a person needs or doesn't need in the world of computers. So they really do need to give a person a little more of a hands-on, or get it provided to them.
I actually agree. Bob and Sue Sweetman are great people. But so basically, I would like to interject this thought then. Right now, since from what I've been able to gather, the state is spending a lot of money on doing restoration and recovery of lost data, would it be a safe bet that it would be less expensive for them to spend that money on the training and giving people some basic or even some advanced guidelines and processes on how to do their own backup and where to get the materials from? Would it be less expensive to do that than to do the data recovery that they're doing now? Or would it be less expensive to just buy them the backup and then show them how to use it? Which of the three combinations would be less expensive? That's what my thinking was, is, you know, how are we going to be able to lower the costs that is being spent right now on these individuals that are going through the headaches of lost data, so to speak.
Brian, I think your point is reasonably well taken, but let me for a moment kind of play the devil's advocate. First, I think clearly one of the reasons why there's some interest in doing that is the high cost of software like JAWS and so on that you're going to often, or sometimes anyway, end up having to replace if all of the keys end up disappearing, which I guess potentially could happen. But I guess I'm more concerned in terms of the devil's advocate role with whether or not most people, even if they know that backing up's a good idea, and even if they have, in theory, the wherewithal to acquire backup, do backup very well now. And I guess that I'm thinking that perhaps a better approach is some of the backup options that are available now on the internet that can actually be set up perhaps as part of the individual's purchase and that would then happen automatically, because I guess I'm finding myself looking at me and most of the people I know, and I'm certainly forced to acknowledge that in my case I've been absolutely remiss about doing appropriate and effective backups, to my great sadness and loss. And I think that it's probably true for many, if not most, computer users. We know that the backups ought to be done. We just don't do them. Of course, maybe I'm wrong. Let's do a survey. I bet Monica, who seems to me to be a very sensible sort of person, in fact, she's already told us that she does. Monica does backup. She actually has an external hard drive. Were you always this careful, Monica, or is this a recently learned habit?
Oh, no. I learned by the school of hard knocks. I lost everything on a hard drive. And back then, I knew backups were a good idea. I just thought, oh, I'll never get a virus. I'm always careful. My daughter brought home an infected flash drive from school, and there that went. I would say this. There is one other option, and I didn't think about this before. Paul, I don't know if you know this. You can put in what's called a RAID controller and put in two hard drives that are exactly the same size and make them mirror each other. So, like, if I scan a book and I save it, it's saved to both hard drives. So if one fails, you can pull that one out and pull the other one over and make it your primary drive. That might actually be a good technology to just put in each computer. Voc Rehab might benefit from that, because the backup would not require any action by the user. It would be set up that way before the computer was delivered. Is that what you were thinking about, maybe, Brian?
Actually, that's kind of that, and what Dave was saying also. See, right now the state seems to be spending, at least here in California, seems to be spending a considerable amount of money on the lack of education, primarily, because most people don't really know what backup is, what it's for, how to do it, and how expensive it would actually be. Traditionally, we've been led to believe, through one reason or another, that backing up can be an expensive, time-consuming, and tedious process. But that's not true anymore. And so I think that, you know, what you and Dave said is a good idea. Do the training, the education. But I also think that if, like, for instance, here in California, let's say the state contacted a particular company that has an online backup program, and thus everyone in the state who is supplied with equipment would sign a contract that says that their computer, during their two-year time frame, is automatically made a member of this automatic backup thing, and they really don't, you know, because the computer isn't yours for 2 years after you obtain possession of it in California. And so while it's still in the state's possession, the state has every right to do preventative measures as far as that would be. I've kind of thought it through to such a degree, in fact, that I believe that in most cases that, like what you just said with the dual hard drives, if they did something like that, that would really save, in the end, a huge amount of money that is being spent right now on both the education and the data recovery programs later on down the road. So, you know, just a simple method that could be implemented like that one would be an excellent solution, I believe. But, you know, that's just my opinion. So, you know, I'm sure everybody else has completely different ideas.
Hello, this is everybody. This is Gary Wood from Lansing, Michigan. I can't think of a more efficient and effective tool in education than the technology that we have available today, like computers and all those kind of things. You know, like kids today seem like they can put us older folks to shame with what they know about how to use these computers.
Part of my question, though, and I'll throw this out to everybody, is how far do we want to go with that? If we are saying that the state is responsible or would be sensible by providing backup, are we also saying that the state ought to provide individuals with spyware stuff and virus detection software, and are we also saying that the client, when he or she receives a piece of equipment, needs to sign a contract that guarantees to perform preventive maintenance on the computer on a regular basis for all of the time that it is the state's property?
You can have maintenance over your computer. I mean, these scans can be run automatically. I mean, you can set up these maintenance tools to work, you know, like your the things that people do, virus or virus scan or any of those kind of things, you know, protecting the hard drive, doing the things that necessary, defragging and all kinds of things like that. I mean, you can set them up so they can do it pretty much automatically at certain times when you're not using the computer, I would think.
With the prevalence of free tools for virus protection, for example, many internet providers give away a copy of either McAfee or another brand of virus protection and firewall, and many of them even offer spyware detection now. I would say no, that it's not the state's responsibility. See, the question here was phrased about what California should do. Here in Georgia, things are done a little bit differently. We don't have the level of what things are paid for. In fact, when I got most of my adaptive equipment for college, the deal we made was my parents would provide the computer if the state would provide the screen reader and the speech synthesizer. I'm dating myself, I know. But I kind of liked that deal because it said, I'm going to be partly responsible and you're going to be partly responsible and we're going to work together as a team. And I do think that the end user, the client that gets the computer, has some responsibility. I'm not saying they should become a computer geek, but I do think they have a responsibility, sort of like when a person gets a car, he or she is responsible for keeping the tires inflated and fuel in the gas tank.
Well, I'm actually agreeing with your statement, Monica. And interestingly enough, I do believe that if people could be somehow given the knowledge, the information, that this is not only a necessity but a sort of a requirement in order to be able to function out there. Because most of the time there is an assumption made that data is lost due to external issues like viruses or spyware or something like that. But what about, you know, just plain failure where something wasn't manufactured very well or it wasn't assembled properly or something, you know, it's more of a mechanical issue where you really don't have any forehand knowledge that something of this nature would happen. I've talked to quite a few people who've had hard drives that just have failed for one reason or another where their hard drive has literally just failed and there was no warning or anything and they were completely unprepared for that. And so just doing the backups would lessen the severity of the loss in a situation where, you know, you have the unpredictability of the manufacturing process. This doesn't even include the viruses and the other, you know, issues that come later. And so I think the responsibility thing should be a major part of it. But like you and Dave pointed out, the training is a necessity, and there should be a way to give people, in order to empower somebody, they have to have the knowledge in order to be empowered, is what I'm trying to say. And my thing is I'm really not sure how that can be accomplished without spending additional large amounts of money. Do you see what I'm saying?
Brian, I think I agree with what everybody is saying to a degree. My issue, I guess, is not so much whether the training is appropriate. I think it is, and I think if we decide that it's appropriate, we could actually find some way of delivering it. There isn't actually any reason why this kind of training couldn't be delivered on a DVD or a or a CD, which would be an audio thing that would be given to every client of the agency when that person got his or her computer. I think, particularly in large state agencies, oftentimes now there are some pretty standard packages that are being given out, and we're certainly at the stage now where the cost of CDs or the cost of even DVDs is low enough that there could actually be training CDs or DVDs that could be made under contract with the state that would be simply given out. Or we could do interactive training online using chat rooms like this one. Or we could use distance learning techniques such as the stuff that Brian Charlson has pioneered at the Carroll Center. But the bottom line is, I think the training could happen. I guess I'm more concerned about the underlying issue that I hear you talking about, which is that the agency has more of a right than I would typically give it to exercise control over the products that people acquire. My experience has been that agencies, for the most part, don't do that. Let's take note takers, for example. Now that note takers get to the internet doing backups and maintenance agreements and so on, is just as important for them. But for the most part, state agencies, at least as my experience with them has been, while they might provide you with 1 year of support, after that, the maintenance agreements for all of your note takers, your other products, are your responsibility. And there's also not usually very much push, if even very much pressure even, to acquire these kinds of agreements. So I guess that you're certainly suggesting a pretty radical departure and very much a big brother approach to access technology.
Well, I would be very willing to find another solution. However, right now, and I'll just use one example here, that since you brought it up, using the note takers as the example, I have noticed that even though most people who have the MAC, which is your maintenance agreement contract, they don't take advantage of it. And why? Because there's nobody who's informing them that this contract is a definite. I mean, it's like your responsibility. There's nothing that says that that there's no signatures usually for them. And so when I go out to the lists, the discussion lists where people post messages to each other, and one of the things that I see an awful lot of is people who have never done a backup, have had a problem, and lost, you know, information because they couldn't get at it anymore because they had to do, a hard reset or actually send it back to the manufacturer to have them deal with it. And so in the end, they gained nothing, and the maintenance agreement contract has basically kind of just been a wasted piece of information and money because they never were informed that this was an important part of the package. And so I'm willing to sacrifice the Big Brother issue big time if I could find a solution to putting a raising the level of importance in the receiving, the people who are receiving the equipment's minds. Like, for instance, when I received my MPower, the focus was on the training. They didn't talk about the MAC. They never talked about any of the other part of it. It was, you know, you got so much training, and did you take advantage of that? End of story. And so I think that there should be a shift and information provided either from the state or from the supplier that the state hires on the maintenance agreement and the backing up and how to do the backups and the restores. There should be, that should be a higher priority than it is, but it's not. And especially with the computers, and the several providers that I know personally, they actually don't think it's important to talk about because in their minds the state doesn't put a priority on it, so they don't either. That's all I was just trying to say is where do you find the balance and how do you get the information into the right place so that the right people will know this is important and therefore there should be a priority put on it rather than right now it's put on the training of, you know, right, you know, you get a new computer, they want to make sure you know how to use JAWS. Their focus is on learning to use JAWS, so they send you someplace where you spend hours sitting there using JAWS, but they never really teach you anything about the day-to-day functionality of a machine and the potential for problems that require the necessity for backing up the data that you are doing, especially if you're a student or you have a job. And so, you know, that's all I was saying. There's no the balance right now is in the wrong direction, and we need to bring it back into a more balanced type of a thing. And I'm probably mistaken about this, because I'm sure there's other states and other places in the country where they probably do some of that. But I know, at least here, I don't see that. And I think it's kind of sad that the state right now is funding a lot of that after-the-fact money on dealing with data recovery.
Mr. Brian, you're still kind of missing the issue that I want someone to at least explore a little bit, and that is, are you really asking the state to assume an entire other level of responsibility? Okay, I'm John Doe, and I've acquired a computer, and I've been given training on backing up, and I've been given a note taker, and I've been given training on backing up and on the maintenance agreement. And 6 or 9 months from now, I've done nothing to back up my stuff. I've done nothing to maintain my training. My note taker no longer functions. I don't have the money for the maintenance agreement. I go to the state and I say, "State, I need your help to replace the innards of my note taker that have been eaten by viruses, and I need your help to recover all the data on my computer." So what's the state going to say? Are they going to say, "Oh, poor baby, sure, we'll help you"? Or with this new approach that you're talking about, should they in fact be saying something else?
Well, I don't know. I mean, if people have all this training to learn how to use this stuff and then they don't put it to use, then it sounds to me like a good chunk of money thrown away.
I have to agree with Gary on that one. I think that if a person has the tools, they are responsible themselves for maintaining those tools. It's a balancing act, because I don't think you can go too far in either direction, and that's what's tough, is keeping that balancing act. But I know that if a client that I had worked with, and I used to do computer training for a career. That's what I did. I retired about 5 years ago. But if I was dealing with a client that I had shown how to back up and I had shown how to maintain the antivirus software, and that person came to me, you know, 9 months later and said, "Well, I haven't been backing anything up since the day you showed me, and you know, now I want you to come and fix this," and I would not be very happy with that person. I probably would still come and help them because, you know, they're in a mess if I were the state. But I definitely wouldn't be very happy about it. I don't know. See, I the thing is, I keep looking at it. In our assistive technology is similar to what a person pays for and invests in getting a car if they are sighted. And when someone gets a car, it comes with a book, and they're responsible for at least thumbing through that book and looking to see, you know, well, how do I maintain this, and what is my tire pressure? And if they go into the dealership 5 months after buying the car because their tire has blown because they didn't check the air pressure, the dealership isn't going to say, "Oh, you poor baby, here's another tire." They're going to say, "Well, this tire is going to cost you X, and because the car itself is under warranty, the labor will be covered, but you still have to purchase the tire because you didn't maintain it." Does that make any sense?
Well, I think what I'm trying to say to Brian and to an extent to the group as well, that essentially if the state provides the training and the software and the extra hard drive, and I still don't maintain it, and the state still jumps in and provides me with the training and the replacement and the fixes and so on because I'm a poor blind guy, then where's the incentive for me to do the backups and to pay attention to the training? So part of, I guess, what I'm saying is what I hear you guys proposing is a demand that clients become more responsible. But for me, that kind of demand means absolutely nothing if you're not going to back it up with some kind of change in your rules that says that if a client doesn't accept that kind of responsibility, there will be some kind of consequences. I'm probably far too draconian for this group, and I'm so old that the state didn't provide any of the access technology that I used. I ended up having to pay for all of it myself, actually, except for this laptop, which belongs to the college, which I'm borrowing. But my point is that I would buy into the idea of the state saying to folks, we're going to check on your equipment in a year. We're going to look at evidence of how much you've used it. We're going to look at evidence of the kind of condition it's in. We're going to look at the degree to which you can demonstrate an expanded knowledge of the equipment. And if none of those benchmarks are met, or if the benchmarks that we set aren't met, we're going to take the equipment away. Is that too draconian, guys?
Well, I guess it would make sense because people, I mean, if something is given to you, you're not going to appreciate it as much as if you had spent your hard-earned money for it. You know, back in the 70s when I was requiring state services of the blind, we didn't have computers and things like that. I mean, it was nobody could have imagined that this stuff would be available today.
Paul, I actually agree wholeheartedly with what you're saying. The only challenge is that I've discovered, for instance, I've got an Empower, and I do my backups regularly. I went and actually purchased an SD card for the dedicated purpose of backups. It does nothing else. But in truth, I've discovered that I'm backing up nothing because the only thing that I'm actually using that isn't part of this is where the weird part about it. If I were to say it this way, let's say the state was buying me a brand new computer with all of the necessary parts and components and software, and they had a program in place where in a year, if I didn't meet the benchmarks, like you said, they would actually remove the process from me. That's fine. But the problem is that I've discovered that the users don't seem to either be aware of how to meet those benchmarks, or if they are aware, there's no priority on them actually. There's no incentives that give them any reason to actually follow through, because right now there's been this candy mentality. Oh, well, they'll just give us another one later if we need it. So there's got to be somewhere in the training, education, information side of the whole process, there's got to be a change in that as well in order to meet what you were saying. And that's where the challenge that I see is right now. Nobody seems to want to do that part of it. Nobody seems to be willing to step up to the plate and say, okay, guys, let's do the education part of this. Let's teach you how to maintain the equipment, how to do the preventative, take the preventative measures, and how to do the backups just on the in case, you know? Because if we provided people with a definite emotional impact in the information side so that they would see it emotionally, which is where most people are moved by, you know, if we just provide them with things logically, people aren't motivated by logic. They're motivated by emotions. So they really need to hear the horror stories about so-and-so who didn't do his backup in the way that, you know, and the measures that he should have done so that he wouldn't have lost his data. And that way the priority could be made, and then the state could then start with the whole process. But right now there's a disconnect between giving the equipment and the training. And that's why I said I agreed with Monica and Dave when they talked about not the state not providing the backup measures. I'm fully in favor of the training, but the training right now seems to be more focused on specifics rather than on the whole package. Does that make sense at all?
Brian, I'm a little confused by what you're saying. One part of it is that if someone knew that they were going to lose their computer if they didn't maintain it, and that's what Paul was suggesting, I think that would be a huge incentive to learn to use it, because if I don't learn to use it, it leaves my house. It goes away. Right now, I see a lot of people from certain states who will have things like Packmates, and they'll say things like, yeah, I've got a Packmate. I never use it, though. Or, I've got a Bookport. Yeah, it's laying around here somewhere. I never use it, though. That frustrates me very much. What I hear you saying in California is that there is a huge lack of accountability, and I think that lack of accountability has got to be dealt with. I also don't think that providing training is the total answer, because even among computer geeks, the people who are smart, who know computers well, I saw a survey, less than half of those people actually keep good, solid backups. So it's not just blind people, it's sighted people too. I don't know. I don't know that there's an easy answer, but I do know this. If I were in charge of things in California, and I know I'm not, one of the things I would do is begin looking at what is causing the data recovery. Here in Georgia, if your drive fails, they get you a new hard drive. They don't spend hours trying to get the data off the old drive, at least not at the state's expense.
Actually, I would concede that issue. I really would. But like I said, there's a lot of people, and it's not just California who I've talked to, people who have it's the candy thing. You know, once you run out of candy, the state will just get you another piece of candy. And so if your equipment fails, they just sort of, oh, well, the state will just get me another one later. And so even if the state does come along and take something away from them now, they just go and try to get something else, and they don't seem to mind. And that's the weird part. That's the part that seems to make no sense to me. So I will concede what you're saying. And I think that it is an accountability issue. I think that there should be somebody to start the paradigm shift occurring. And I think that in the disabled community, that would be an excellent place for that to begin. If people in the disabled community realize the importance of computers, and therefore realize the importance of doing the preventative measures and doing the backups, start the paradigm so that people on the outside of the disabled community would actually say, oh, well, look what they're doing. If they think it's important, we need to do it too. That would be a really big deal. And I thought about that for a long time, but I've just never been able to figure out a way to get something like that going. You know, grassroots movements are a very difficult thing to get started, but once they are going, you ain't going to stop them. And so that's the challenge that I'm facing. I would really think that there would be, if one let's say a particular state chose to do something like that, that would be an excellent thing to do, to be the first to step out and actually do it. I think that would stir up a definite amount of attention out there.
From ACB Radio Mainstream, you are listening to Tuesday Topics. If you have comments about the show or a suggestion of a topic you would like to have discussed, send a message to TuesdayTopics@acbradio.org. That's TuesdayTopics@acbradio.org. Once again, the host of Tuesday Topics, Paul Edwards.
I guess I'm still not convinced that, Brian, you're hearing where I'm coming from. The fact that you're still talking about someone in California essentially saying, if my equipment goes to heck, or if I don't like it, or something new comes along, the state will just buy me a new one, isn't the way it used to be when I was growing up and when I was going through rehab. And frankly, I don't think is the way that it ought to be. I guess one of my concerns across the board with regard to the way that access technology is handled by states relates to the fact that there is no real follow-up to assure that individuals who acquire that access technology or who acquire computers are A, making good use of it, and B, are maintaining it, or C, even have it in their hands. I mean, one of the things that I'm beginning to see is equipment that probably still legally belongs to the state is being sold by people who claim to be its putative owners to somebody else because they're no longer using it and they want the state to buy them something else. I don't know, I guess, what the right answer is either. What I do know is that in this country, we're spending a huge amount on access technology and computers. Manufacturers don't seem to have very much incentive in terms of creating a system of responsible maintenance. It's one of the things that I would like to see as part of what we're asking entities like ATIA to do. I really think that there ought to be some responsibility on manufacturers as well, not only to assure that people know about maintenance, but that they in fact know more about what's going on. And I heard a story, I guess, 2 days ago from someone about HumanWare saying they've sent their device back to HumanWare 6 times in the last year, and now HumanWare, even though they have all the maintenance agreements, is saying, oh, well, you have to replace the Braille display, and that's going to cost you $2,000 because you have your maintenance agreement instead of four. Boy, I don't consider that to be all that wonderful, and that's not what I consider to be a really good maintenance agreement. So I guess the point that I'm coming to is I hear you saying that you want the state to be more responsible. I want the client to be more responsible, and I want the manufacturers to be more responsible, and I want there to be an expectation across the board that everybody will get more bang for their access technology dollar, because I guess what I'm seeing now is a huge decline in the expectations for access technology than what we had even 4 or 5 years ago. There was an expectation 4 or 5 years ago that maintenance agreements meant stuff and that manufacturers would do an awful lot more. I don't think those expectations are there anymore.
Actually, I think that's true. And, you know, dancing around the issue, I think that what all of us are saying, if I may speak kind of generally for just a second, I think that what all of us are saying are just components to the big picture anyway. In order to put a responsibility plan in place, you're also going to have to build a type of an infrastructure for the screwballs who have no intention of actually following through with their personal responsibility. And so in order to detect them and to deal with them, you're going to have to put up a type of infrastructure which includes experts, people who have the technological know-how to go in, take a look at something to find out if it's being used properly, properly maintained, you know, all the preventative stuff. And in order to be able to recognize that and all of those things. And so if I'm understanding what you're saying correctly, you're really asking to build a responsibility infrastructure that starts with the manufacturers, goes through the providers, including the states and or agencies that are funding the suppliers to provide the technology to the individual, and then to turn around and have the individual also participate in this level of responsibility. And so in order to kind of heighten all of that up, there needs to be a third group, the watchdogs, the police, so to speak, I don't know what else to call it, that would be able to step in and kind of keep tabs on this whole new structure to make sure that it's actually being maintained properly by each of the individuals along, you know, all through the process. Is this sort of what you're getting at? Am I anywhere close?
I think that sounds like a great idea. Everybody should be involved with it, and everybody should be responsible. It seemed like when Paul was mentioning about follow-ups, I don't know that I can recall much of a follow-up, you know, after this training at the state rehab center that I had. I don't know that they do much on that with folks. I don't think that's that's ever been done, but that might be just my opinion.
It seems like if what we're saying is that there needs to be education with the blind community about doing backups and virus protection and such, and if what Brian says is correct, that there are a lot of people who have training in JAWS but have no knowledge of backups, it would seem to me that the first step in implementing anything like this would be to begin educating people who already have computers who are blind in how to do backups. Because it seems like they are the people that new people contact when they get online. Because I'm looking at this idea and saying, okay, if it's a good idea, what can we do to make it happen? Because it's okay to sit around and talk, but if you don't do anything, then you're just talking. So does that make sense?
Oh, yeah, Monica, I think it does. And Brian, yeah, the only thing that I despair of, and I guess that's what I'd like to open it to for a few minutes, the one thing I despair of is whether people are going to have the chutzpah to actually carry through with this stuff. If you have a client who's been irresponsible, are you going to take the equipment away? Are you going to be prepared to close that person's case? If you have a provider who hasn't provided the appropriate training, who has in fact taken state money for providing training and hasn't done it, are you going to cut that provider off? If a manufacturer is actually manufacturing products that they're not standing behind, or is requiring people to pay exorbitant sums to keep maintenance agreements for which they're getting very little, is the state going to say, we're not going to buy from you anymore? You know, the real issue is, are there consequences, or are we simply talking about making rules that we pay lip service to, but which actually we're not prepared to carry through with? And unless we're prepared to carry through with it at all levels and on all sides, there's no point in us even talking about it. Because if we're not going to create a responsible infrastructure that works for all parties, there's no point in creating it at all, because it's just not fair.
You know, that actually makes a heck of a lot of sense. It really does. And, you know, you were mentioning the maintenance agreements that are basically nothing more than a lot of words. I've heard that story so many times where someone will, you know, they will get the maintenance agreements, but then it seems that the maintenance agreements aren't followed through upon. And so you're right. The manufacturers need to be included. The providers need to be included. Pretty much it's an all-around deal. And so I think that if in order to implement this, it's definitely going to have to be a big deal. And nobody wants to take on a big deal. You know what I mean?
I think it should be something that all the way around. Everybody should be responsible, manufacturers, the state, the students, and things like that. Thing is, if someone's irresponsible and then you close this case, then the other side of that is that that person has to go on support from the state or welfare, something that they have to be supported because they don't because they're not employable or something. maybe that's outside of what we're talking about.
I don't know that it's outside, Gary, but the person's probably already on welfare anyway. If the person is being that irresponsible, the probability is that person hasn't been able to maintain his employment either. So obviously that's an obnoxious generalization, and I should be shot for it. It seems to me, though, that if we really wanted to do something about this, it might really be worth our while to talk with an organization like BITS, which is an affiliate of the ACB, which is the affiliate that works with kind of computers, and ask BITS to perhaps come up with, we could in fact call it a responsibility policy that they would then take to rehab councils, that they would then take to ATIA, that they would then take to the consumers at ACB. And perhaps a consumer organization like the American Council of the Blind is the only sort of organization that could really implement it. But I truly think that there's a good reason for us to do it. I think there are an awful lot of people who could benefit from access technology and who would use it if they could get access to it. But with scarce dollars, it's the squeaky wheels that are getting what they want, and the squeaky wheels that are often going back to the trough again and again, rather than allowing the creation of an infrastructure that would assure a wider distribution of access technology to a broader population, and so on. The other thing is that I think clearly, with regard to backups and antiviruses and so on, we're probably not doing as good a job as we should as a consumer organization about starting with the very basics. And maybe one of the things that we should think about is suggesting that the model that's being followed by some manufacturers be encouraged. And I'm actually thinking about a very good tutorial that's out there at the moment for the Victor Reader stream that was actually prepared by Jeff Bishop. I don't know what the circumstances under which he prepared it were, but what I do know is that tutorial is online as a zip file. It's downloadable. It's a pretty big file. It's about 94 meg. It's a very good package, and it's available from the manufacturer's website for nothing. I don't know how much, if anything, they paid to have it produced. I don't know why providers couldn't make tutorials on the use of antivirus stuff, tutorials on the use of spyware, tutorials on how to back up available on websites in a downloadable way, the same way as these are available for the Victor Reader stream. So what do you think? Shall we all go to ACB this summer? Intent on creating a responsibility mode for access technology?
Yeah, I believe that I would agree with that. I think that the American Council for the Blind should support an infrastructure like we've been talking about, making everybody responsible for getting the computers available for people and learning how to use them and making sure that they learn how to use the things that are necessary for use in the computers.
I'm actually sitting down and writing a blog post about doing backups and am hunting for, so that I can put it together, hunting for some links to accessible software. That's why I was saying that talking is good, but doing is good too. Maybe this will help Brian with some of the backup issues that you're dealing with in California. If we work on the education part of it, we can help people who already have their computers and software. But yes, I do agree, Paul, that it would be a good idea to promote a responsibility orientation as well at the conventions. I think that's actually a very good idea.
Any other final thoughts from, I don't know, Brian or Dave, who started this whole thing? Any thoughts from the belly of the beast in California?
Well, truthfully, it's a good idea, but I had a thought a little while ago that I'll just throw out there. I think that contracts would be an excellent thing to do instead of purchase orders. Everybody has to sign contracts, and these contracts have to be written with some meat in them, and then the people who write the contracts have to have the fortitude to be able to stand up and see that they are followed through. Great idea. I actually got the idea from something you said, Paul. So changing to using contracts would be a step in the right direction.
But actually, we already have a contract, or essentially the deployment fund need happen is specific language needs to be developed that could be incorporated into the contract that would include an expectation of how the equipment would be operated, and that would also incorporate follow-up from the counselor. I suppose the one question is, what does the state or the counselor get out of follow-up? You know, they're not going to get employment closures out of it for the most part, unless we argue, which I think we actually could, that creating contracts that inculcate a sense of responsibility into the customer of vocational rehabilitation is also going to have that sense of responsibility carry through to the employment arena as well, almost certainly, and that at least part of the issue that may be resulting in individuals not being able to maintain or keep their jobs is that they are not expected to accept as much responsibility for their own salvation as they're in fact able to do. Well, I think that we've actually had an interesting discussion and perhaps come up with an interesting idea if any of the officers of BITS happen to listen to our program. We hope that you will pass this along to BITS. And there is also a technology committee that is a part of the ACB structure, and that technology committee could also certainly take a look at this. There is a rehabilitation task force that has written a rehab white paper, and clearly access technology and the way that access technology is handled across the country ought to be a concern of the rehab task force. And so there are probably lots of places within ACB where we could begin to carry this issue forward. I believe that it's an issue perhaps whose time has come. I think that we are at the moment at a place where access technology is being acquired. People don't know how to use it, so training is certainly an issue, but more importantly, people don't know how to maintain it, and so the life of access technology and the computers that people acquire is essentially not nearly so long as it should be. So it's an excellent idea. Let me give folks an opportunity for a final quick thought that they might have, and then we'll wind things down for this evening.
I just wanted to thank you for giving us the opportunity to talk about an interesting subject that in most other environments would probably get overlooked.
Paul, it's been an interesting discussion tonight. It's stirred up some interesting thoughts.
Thank you, everyone. Yep, I think there has been a lot of food for thought this evening. It's certainly a problem in search of a solution. I'd like to thank everyone for their participation this evening, and I hope that some of the new folks who came this evening will feel welcome enough to come back for future programs. I'd like to remind listeners that we do have an email address that is being underutilized, to say the least. Please send us messages to TuesdayTopics@acbradio.org. That's all one word, TuesdayTopics, TuesdayTopics, @acbradio.org. Tune in next week when we'll have another, we think, interesting topic. We appreciate your being here. And remember, when you listen to ACB Radio, at the very least, you learn more than folks who don't listen ever will.
To participate in the recording of Tuesday Topics, we invite you to join us on Tuesday evenings in the U.S. at 9 p.m. Eastern. That's Wednesday at 2 hours Universal. The program is recorded in the Our Place Politics chat room at ourplace.acbradio.org. That's ourplace.acbradio.org. All you need is a microphone that is plugged into your computer sound card. A few minutes before each program begins, those who are online will be happy to assist with audio checks and to answer questions about the chat room software. An announcement about the show, including information about the topic and the guest speaker, will be emailed to the ACB Radio Friends List. So we hope you will come and join us each week on Tuesday, when Tuesday Topics is being recorded. We'll look for you in the Our Place Politics chat room at ourplace.acbradio.org. Tuesday Topics is a production of ACB Radio Mainstream.